getting counseling or help for issues or struggles that we face. In fact, it's wise to do so if that's something in our life that we see a need for. But we have to realize that we are not fighting alone. We're not in this alone. You're not doing this alone. It's not you all by yourself trying to figure this out. We're not fighting without hope. Many fight without hope. They fight and they try, but they really have no hope that anything good will come. They really have no hope that anything can change. There's no hope that anyone is on their side. We are not on the losing side either. It's important that you realize this. No matter how it might look, it's irrelevant how it looks. It matters. It's an issue for us. But at the end of the day, it does not change that in Christ we are victorious. If this is the word of truth that tells us that in Christ we are more than overcomers. God wins every time. You could read the back of the book. It gets pretty ugly. But God wins. Jesus comes back for us. We spend eternity in heaven. Nothing can separate us from his love. Those are the things that we need to remember. We have Jesus, who is our high priest. And remember that as our high priest, he can sympathize with our weaknesses. Where we struggle, he knows and he understands. He will never leave us and he will never forsake us because we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, fully God. It's important to remember, if you take the Holy Spirit, you have all of God. You don't have lesser than, you don't have a portion of, you have all of God, because the God we serve is three in one. The Holy Spirit living inside of us. We're told in Scripture, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is within us. The same Spirit, not less of, not a little bit of, the same Spirit. And we can overcome all things, not because we're so special, not because we're so amazing. We can overcome all things because Scripture tells us greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And as we read that Scripture, it's important to note that the he that's in us is capital H. The he that's in the world is lowercase. He, God himself within us, is greater than he in the world. And on top of all of that, if all of that isn't enough, we have the Word of God, which is our truth, which is absolute truth, which is our final authority. And this Word of God, it serves to guide. It serves to help us change and to correct us. But as we looked at last week, it also serves for us to stand on. It's our victory, it's our authority, it's our truth that we can declare in our lives and over our circumstances. We can use it as our sword of victory. And all of this is because of Jesus. All of it is because of Jesus. You can take any scripture, New, Old Testament, whatever you want, it's about Jesus and how he relates to us. With Jesus, it's just better. A better covenant with better promises. So now we approach the throne of God boldly. You need to remember that. It's such a privilege for us that we approach the throne of God boldly. The Old Testament, the prophets of old, they would have given anything to be able to approach that throne as we can. They were never allowed in. The high priest once a year after much ritual and cleansing, and that was it. Into the Holy of Holies. We can come anytime we choose. We approach boldly. Now, in order for all of this to come into realization in our lives, we need to add something to all of this. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. We need to add something to all of this information that we have, and that's faith. We need to add faith. Faith is crucial to our Christian walk because the promises of God are not magic. This is not a magic spell book that we can just give off incantations and they happen. That's not what it is. They don't do much good if we don't have faith that they're true. It's a tricky situation because our lack of faith doesn't change the reality that they're true. Our lack of faith or lack of believing or our lack of knowledge about them doesn't change that they're there. It doesn't change how real and true they are, but it does change our experience of their reality. And that's the kick to it. That's the catch to it. It changes our experience of their reality. So this message is called Faith, and we're in Hebrews chapter 11. So if you have your phones or your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11. Now in my study notes in my Bible, it gives two things that we need to have and to believe for faith to be realized in our lives. Two things. It says we must believe two things. We must settle these things in our hearts. Number one is that the entire creation, visible and invisible, is the result of a creator's direct, intelligent action and not the product of blind chance. It's very important that we believe that aspect. The second thing is that historic figures, people in history and now, have encountered this creator in personal ways, evidencing that he is more than merely a force and that he is a personal God who relates to those who seek him in providential and redemptive ways. So to sum that up, two things. God created all things. He is creator. And number two, that God is more than a force. He's not just some wind or force out there. He's not just some God way out there who's not involved. He is a personal God who relates to those who seek him in providential and redemptive ways. It says that any worthy approach to God with true faith must believe these two propositions. If faith is to have a starting place and a realizable goal in our lives. So Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start reading in verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1, it reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. We declare, as always, that your word is truth. It's absolute. It's final authority. We choose and decide that we will bow to your word. We will bow our opinion and our desire to your word of truth. We will allow it to shape and mold and change us. We invite you, Holy Spirit, into this room to minister to every one of us, to speak to our hearts, to teach our minds. And Holy Spirit, that you would do among us what only you can do. That your word and your message, Father, comes through this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the first thing to note is that this starts off with, "Now faith is." It's important that we realize that now, he says. Again, this Christian life is not about sitting around waiting until we die and go to heaven. If that's what we're doing, we're missing it. If we're just sitting there waiting until that time we die and we finally get to escape all of this world, this big bad world around us, we're doing it wrong. We're missing the point. You need faith now. He didn't use the word therefore like they do in Scripture a lot of times. He used now. Because faith is for now. Faith isn't for tomorrow. Just like we talked about claiming the promises of God last week, you don't wait until later. You do it now. If fear is coming in your life, you don't say, "Okay, I'm going to give it a week and see if this goes away. And if there's still fear in a week, then I'll contemplate what I can do about it." It's now. If fear comes in your life, you take the scripture. "My God has not given me a spirit of fear or timidity, but he has given me a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. If there's opposition in my life, if there's things coming against me in my life, I don't just wait it out to see if it'll go away. It's now you need faith. No weapon formed against me will prosper in Christ Jesus. It's for now. Faith is now. So if faith is for now, and if faith is so important, then we should be wondering and thinking and considering, what exactly is it? What is faith? What does it mean for us? Because if it's so important in our lives, if it's needed in our lives, we should understand what it actually is. So think about it. How would you describe to someone what faith is? If somebody was to ask you, what is faith? What would your answer be? How would you reply to that question? Scripture tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is substance and evidence of things hoped for and not seen. Now, there's two ways that we can come to God. Just hear me out. There's two ways. You can come by works, okay? You can come by works. By works, if you can present perfection in your works, you could come to him. There's 613 odd laws. If you can come with absolute perfection, you can come. But Scripture tells us that if you miss one thing ever, you miss it all forever. Nobody has ever made it this way. Nobody. Adam didn't. Abraham didn't. David didn't. Daniel didn't. None of them made it by being perfect. And if I can fill you in, you won't make it either. Just in case you're thinking of trying, you won't make it. Probably even thinking of trying failed you right there. Jesus is the only one without sin. Tempted in all ways we are, yet without sin. So the only real, valid option is the second way, and that's to come by faith. By works, perfection, that's never going to happen, so you can come by faith. Through Jesus, the gift of grace. It's a free gift. You don't earn it. You don't come through your works. You don't come through doing good. You don't come through a better tick box on the good side and less ticks on the bad side. That's not how it works. It's through Jesus, a free gift of grace. That is why the gospel is so amazing. If you look at your life, I don't care how good you've been, if you look at your life and the areas that we've failed or messed up or sinned in whatever way, we've made a mess. And we will never get to the Father. We will never get to heaven that way. It is impossible. Grace and the gospel is amazing. Many times, though, we get faith confused. If you've thought of your answer, if somebody asks you what is faith, and you've thought of how you would answer, many times something included in people's answer will be something along the lines of, faith is a leap in the dark. Faith is a gamble. You don't really know what's up either way, so you just take a gamble and go for it. Faith is a mystery. You don't really know. You don't really understand. You got to pick a side, so you pick one. That is not what faith is. That's not what faith is, according to the scriptures we read this morning. Faith is substance and evidence. Substance of things hoped for. The Greek use of this word is a scientific way. It's used in scientific discussions and things like that. It is the opposite of hypothesis or theory. The opposite. That word substance. So if faith is the substance of things hoped for, that is the opposite of a hypothesis or theory. So if you're just coming up with something that sounds relatively good to you and then believing it, that's not faith. That's something we've made up and we're just jumping into. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. In the scientific sense, in chemistry, it's actually used to describe if you have a vial of different things and the stuff that settles at the bottom that you can see, that's the substance. That's this word in Greek. It's what settles, it's what you can actually see. It's what's real in that vial. Literally translated, this word often is translated as a standing under. And in the technical sense, in a lot of even some translations, it'll be used as title deed. A title deed is a very important thing. A title deed is a very real thing. So it can be put together as standing under the claim to the property to support its validity. That's the first part of what faith is. Faith is the title deed of things hoped for. You're not taking a leap in the dark. You're not taking a gamble. You're not in some mystery. You have a title deed of the things hoped for. And then it says that faith is the evidence of things not seen. The Greek word here is usually used in a legal sense. It's a legal word. Evidence that is accepted for conviction. So we all know how that plays out. Evidence is something that you take into court to prove your case. It's evidence. If it's not evidence, then it's something else, right? It's circumstantial. It's something that you're trying. It's a theory that you have. It's something you're trying to put together. But if it's evidence that's used in conviction to prove your case, it's real. It's something that's there. So we can see that faith is much more than a leap in the dark. At times, it might feel scary, and it might kind of feel like a leap in the dark, but there's more to it than that. If we believe those two things, that God is creator, all things were created by him, not chance. And if we believe that he is a personal God, not a force, but a personal God that relates with us who diligently seek him in providential and redemptive ways, and that we have his word, which is for us truth, then our faith is much more than some leap in the dark, a gamble, a mystery. All of this substance and this evidence, it rests upon the Word of God. That's why this is so important. That's why it's so important that we read the Bible. It's not doing us much good sitting on the end table. You can stuff it under your pillow every night that you want to, and you're not going to remember much of it. You need to read it. You need to get it in your heart and in your mind. You need to speak it over your life and your circumstances. You need to rest up under it, stand under it. You need to take it as the substance of the things that you hope for. What are you hoping for? And where did you come up with what you're hoping for? Did you just make it up because it sounds good? Well, then that's your own faith. But did you find it in the Word of God and you're hoping for it? Now you can stand under it as the substance of what you're hoping for. It's the evidence of the things you can't see. You can't always see the end result. You can't always see the final solution. But you have the evidence of what you can't see. The Word of God is living and it's active. It has energy. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Faith is so important to our walk with God. Verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's a hard verse to read. That's a difficult one. If we're trying and hoping to please God, and we read that without faith, it is impossible to please him, that's something we should maybe understand, because if it's impossible to please him, then hopefully we have some faith. Now, why would he say that? Why would it be such a hard statement? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Why? Because there's only two ways to come to him. Works, living perfect in every way for all of your life, for all time. Which is never going to happen. It will never happen. So the only real valid way to come to him is by faith. And without it, you can't please him. Why? Because without it, you can't please him. You can't on your own. There's no way you'll measure up to a holy, perfect God. We need to realize that. We don't like to say that all the time to people because we get all depressed about it and we get all sad about it. But it's you need to realize that you will never measure up on your own. Not because you're a terrible, awful, unloved person. Just because that's human nature, because of sin, because of the way things have gone since Adam and Eve. You need to realize you won't measure up on your own. But the good news is the gospel that you don't have to measure up on your own. Jesus did it for you. He met the requirements. He fulfilled the prerequisites. So now, you come by faith through him and you receive it all. The better covenant with the better promises. The only way is through faith. So without faith, it's impossible to please him. As we continue that verse, the rest of verse 6 in its entirety reads, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." That's our faith. Without it, you can't please him because there's no other way to come. So you come by faith and you have to believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So many times people come to God all their life like a dirty worm. "Oh God, I'm just a dirty sinner." No, you're not anymore. That's that thing. You're not a sinner saved by grace. Get that out of your head. You were a sinner who's been saved by grace. Now the scripture says you're a saint. You're a son or daughter of God. You're an heir of the kingdom of God, a co-heir with Christ Jesus. You are a new creation. You need to realize all of the sin and filth in your life to come by faith, but you don't live there anymore. Now you approach the throne boldly, it says. As we carry on through the rest of Hebrews, if you read the rest of Hebrews 11, you're going to be given an account of amazing things. I encourage you to read through Hebrews 11 this week. Read it every day. You're going to see amazing things that men and women did and have done by faith. All of it, it says, by faith. 18, 19 times in my version and translation of the scriptures, it specifically states by faith, and then it gives an account of amazing, incredible things that we would long to see, most of them. There would be things that we would hope for, things that we have not yet seen. Amazing things have happened and were done by faith. As you read through the list, you'll see that there was excellent sacrifices offered that pleased God. You'll see that death was thwarted and escaped. You'll see that there was deliverance from all kinds of things for God's people. You'll read about obedience in the face of hard times. You'll read about the realization of God's promises in people's lives as they had faith. You'll read about blessing that came into people's lives. You'll read about worship that was given and pleasing to God. You'll read about wisdom that was given to God's people beyond their normal abilities. You'll read about safety that God's people had and enjoyed from harm and danger that was all around them. You'll read about hard decisions that were made by people. You'll read about where there was faith over fear. There was an opportunity for fear, but people chose faith. You'll read about freedom that people enjoyed and miracles upon miracles that happened. And if all that list isn't amazing enough, then you can go to verse 33 and it'll continue on and it'll tell you about people that subdued kingdoms, took over kingdoms. It'll tell you about people who worked righteousness in the lives and the world around them. They obtained the promises of God. It'll tell you about stopping the mouths of lions. Amazing things. Quenching the violence of fire. It'll tell you about people who escaped the edge of the sword. the weak who became strong, like we sang about this morning, valiance in battle and bravery, women receiving their dead raised back to life again. Incredible stuff. Stuff that you can only believe by faith because it's so wild and it's so incredible. It's amazing. That list, as you read it, should build some excitement in you. We should be a little bit pumped about what God can and will do in and through us as we live by faith, as the Holy Spirit works in and through us. It's amazing. But if you were to stop reading there, you would do a disservice to your faith, and you would do a disservice to the faith story that we're given in the Scriptures. Because, well, verse 35, you need to read yourself, and you need to contemplate the last half of verse 35. That's something you need to wrestle with. It's another message for another time. But after you get past that, from verse 35 through 38, you're going to read about another list that was done by faith. It introduces these as the others. So we have this amazing list of things, and then we have the others that by faith endured torture, were mocked and scourged, endured chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, not the 420 kind, the dead kind. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. And others who wandered in desolation and affliction. And they did that by faith. It says about these others, it says, of whom the world was not worthy. Faith does not exclude us from the trials and the troubles of life. We need to realize and understand that. Jesus told us that in this world we would have trouble. That was right from his mouth. In this world we will have trouble. But he also told us, you need to finish all the verses. That's why this is so important when we're just spouting off verses and we're only saying half of it. Right? If you only read half of it, you're going to get all the amazing in Hebrews 11 and miss some of the terrible. If you only read that Jesus told us in the world we'll have trouble, it's going to kind of suck. But the last part of the verse, he says, take heart, be of good cheer. Why? Because Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And if we are in him, so will we. Now, as amazing as the accomplishments are in this chapter, as amazing as these heroes of faith are, there's something better for us. If you can believe that, just have some faith. There's something better. Verses 39 and 40, they say, all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, for you and me, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. All that they did, that amazing list that we read through, the good and the bad, all of that, the heroes of faith didn't receive the promise. But we have. That promise is Jesus. That promise is grace. That promise is our salvation, our forgiveness of sin, the blood of Christ cleansing us, that we don't have to try and measure up by works. Knowing that we can't and failing and killing an animal to try and get forgiveness and then failing and over and over and over. Now we have grace. Now we have Jesus, a better covenant with better promises. R.C. Sproul said, the issue of faith is not so much whether we believe in God, but whether we believe the God we believe in. I'll read that again. The issue of faith is not so much whether we believe in God, but whether we believe the God we believe in. Augustine said, "Seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand." Faith is crucial to our Christian walk. Absolutely crucial. Faith is what binds it all together. Faith, by faith, is how we do amazing things with God and how we endure sometimes terrible things with God. Faith is for now. Now, faith. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. Don't just see what happens. Faith is now. What is faith? Hebrews 11, chapter 1 in the Amplified. Let's close with this. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof, the evidence of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness in our life. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the better covenant with the better promises. We thank you that faith is for now, and that by it we read and see that we can do and endure all kinds of things for your glory. That you would lead and guide us, Holy Spirit, into all truth in all things. That you would build and stir up in us this faith. That we would see how truly great and amazing this gospel is. This grace, this new life, this salvation through Christ Jesus. God, that we would come to you by faith and believe that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. We thank you that no matter what's going on in the world around us, it cannot take us from you. And it cannot take you from us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you live inside of us, never leaving, never forsaking us. And that by faith, nothing will be impossible. In Jesus' name, amen.